Cześć, witam Was w podcaście Pierwsza Luźna, podcaście o ludziach, a konkretnie o takich, którzy trenują chwytane sporty walki. Jeśli odcinek Ci się spodoba, zostaw lajka lub udostępnij go dalej. Będę Ci bardzo wdzięczny. Miłego słuchania. Przedstawienie kolejnego gościa do teraz wydaje mi się totalną abstrakcją. Tym niemniej, moim gościem był boss Akademii Essential Jiu-Jitsu, dwukrotny mistrz ADCC, dwukrotny mistrz Pan Amsów i mistrz świata nogi JT Torres. Gadaliśmy m.in. o jego drodze przez Team Lloyda Irwina i Atos do własnej akademii, o tegorocznych Worldsach, o tym skąd przed przyjazdem czerpał wiedzę na temat Polski i o napieprzaniu w Call of Duty. Enjoy!
Hello JT.
What's up man, how you doing?
I'm doing great, you?
I'm doing really well actually. Slightly jet lagged right now,
okay.
But I'm doing well man, I'm feeling good. I'm here in Poland, actually, man. I'm here in Poland with you, doing yep. The podcast right now, having a good conversation, just finished a good training session, so I'm doing great, man. I can't complain.
It's not your first time in Poland, right?
It's not. It's actually my second time.
Second time.
It's my second time, and I probably would have been here a few more times if it wasn't for COVID. Okay. You know, I first came here, I think it was like 4 years ago now,
yeah.
And it's crazy to think how fast time goes, but I was actually set to come back, and then we had to cancel twice because of COVID and the restrictions of travel and things like that. So I'm happy we made it happen this time around. We're back better than ever. It's an awesome feeling because I get to see familiar faces, but also new faces as well. And it's always the best part for me, at least traveling, is making new friends and seeing old friends and just keeping those relationships alive.
For the listeners, we are in Otmuchów in Jarek Chmiel Academy.
Yeah.
It's a branch of Rio Grappling Club, and it's Otmuchów. It's like right on the border with the Czech Republic, so the end of Poland. But it's very nice here. You notice that the conditions are like really like old school, like primary school.
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah.
In your career, your club was something similar because it's really cool. It's really good conditions, but for me it's a little bit nostalgic because it used to look like in most places like this,
yeah.
Like few years back, and now the facilities are getting better and better and more professional.
Right.
What was your like first facilities where you started to training or you know?
So me personally, right?
Yeah.
When I first started training, the facilities were very similar to these, right? It was very simple, but yet it had everything you needed, right? Like we see here, you got a big mat space, and really at the end of the day, that's all you really need, right? You got a toilet, and you're good to go. So it's like you said, it brings me back to when I first started on my journey, and you know, it's really cool to see that. It's really cool to see that. You know, back home, my academy has, you know, we have a big facility, you know. It's, you know, state of the art, modern and stuff like that, which is also awesome. But like you were just saying, when I come back and train in places like here, it brings me back to when I first started. And it's a really cool feeling. It's a really cool feeling. You know, to be honest with you, simple is more. Simple is best. You know, when you overcomplicate things can get a little tricky. Here, it's, you know, at least to me, it seems like a great environment. It's like I said, the bare necessities, which is really awesome.
I always remember the video of GF team,
yeah,
and Rodolfo Vieira training on the smallest place I ever seen.
Yes.
Like people under the walls,
yep.
Really, really not a lot of space, and it was like a headquarter of GF team.
Yes,
and it's GF team, it's Rodolfo Vieira. So if they could train like this and become on the level like him, everything is possible. So
100%, and that goes to show that it doesn't matter where you train, right? It doesn't matter. And when I say where you train, I mean as far as facilities go. Like as long as you have mats, and as long as you have a good coach and good training partners, you're gonna do great. You're gonna do amazing. So, and like you were saying, an amazing champion like Rodolfo came from a place like that. I think he just inspires others that come from similar situations to rise to the top, you know, no matter what. Yeah, simple is more, man.
How you met Jarek? He invited you just like that, or there's a story behind that?
You know, to be honest with you, I have met him in the past, in passing, right? Just like casual at the New York Open, actually, because he used to come out to New York quite often. He would train a lot at Marcel Garcia's academy. And I remember he actually competed against one of my students at the New York Open, and it was a close match. And we were just laughing about it yesterday because we were just, you know, he brought back up that memory. But it had a close match. My student ended up winning, but it was a close match. And like during the match, we were laughing because at one point he swept my student, and I was like cursing, "Damn it, no, what?" You know, and it was just hilarious. But I remember seeing him. You know, I have a good memory when it comes to seeing faces. Sometimes it's hard mm-hmm. for me to remember everyone's names when I travel so much, but I can always remember someone's face. And I remember he messaged me a couple years back on Facebook, I believe, asking me if I would be interested in coming out to Poland. I remember looking at his Facebook profile, and I'm like, I know this guy. This guy's really familiar. Like I've seen this guy before, and I took the opportunity. You know, I'm someone who loves traveling, and I of course try to do my research too before I go to, you know, locations I've never been, foreign countries and stuff like that, you know, where I don't speak the language, where I don't know anybody. So I'm like, I gotta do some research, make sure, you know, everything's okay. And I saw, when I went on his Facebook, that's when I saw, yeah, I know this guy. I've seen this guy before.
Yeah.
And then I see that he was at Marcelo Garcia's academy. I'm like, yeah, I've definitely seen this guy in New York before. So I was like, yeah, man, I'll definitely come out 100%. And that's how it happened. That's how it happened. So we have met in the past, and I didn't realize we met in the past until I came out here and he reminded me of that. Like, hey, I fought your student and this and that. I'm like, oh my God, that's right.
Nice, yeah. Nice. You said you're doing your research about the places you're going to visit.
Yeah.
And how often the reality it's showing up different than the research, than the things you looked up?
You know what? Every time I do some research, yeah, of course, you know, Google and stuff like that. But to me, when I do my research, I try to reach out to people who have been there.
Okay.
So actually, this is another good part of the story. I have a student of mine, right? And this guy's name is Wojciech is how you pronounce it, right?
Yeah.
I call him Wojciech. Wojciech Husak is his last name. I believe that's how you pronounce it. But he's actually a second degree black belt under me.
Okay.
And me and Wojciech have known each other for over 10 years. Long time, you know? And basically, when I used to live in New York, he was this Polish guy who moved over from Poland, moved to New York, and we met each other there in training at different academies and things like that. I used to guest teach at different academies in New York while I was still living in California.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not trying to go, I don't want to confuse anybody, but I used to live in California, but I'm originally
they know,
from
JT,
New York.
JT, they know.
They know, okay,
you
okay.
You are the star okay. of... Jiu-Jitsu. I know it's weird because like the people of Jiu-Jitsu are regular people. Like,
right.
Maybe, you know, there are few like who really can feel like stars, like Gordon or Gary.
Yeah.
And it's normal that you are normal, but you are the star.
Thank you, brother.
The people know you. So,
I appreciate
so they,
that.
They know where
okay.
you can. And we will talk about
it. All right.
It.
Yeah. Perfect. So like I said, I was originally born and raised in New York, but I was living in California, and I would come over to New York to visit family and stuff like that. And I would be a guest instructor at different gyms. And that's how me and Wojciech met. You know, we met at these different gyms I was teaching at. Actually, we first met when I was a brown belt and he was a blue belt. But anyways, fast forward, I moved back to New York, right? And I set to open my own academy. And when I set out to open my own academy, I needed a contractor, someone who knows how to build stuff, right? And who do I know who was a contractor and who worked in construction? Wojciech. So I reached out to him like, hey, man, I'm looking to open an academy. You think you can help me? He goes, absolutely, man. So he actually built my first gym. He built my second gym.
Okay.
And through all that, you know, he's always had a dream of opening his own academy. So he opened up his own academy, which is a proud affiliate under me, Essential Jiu-Jitsu. I gave him his second degree black belt not too long ago. And basically what I'm trying to get to is that when Jadek reached out to me about coming to Poland, mm-hmm. who did I reach out to?
Yeah.
Wojciech. I'm like, hey, Wojciech, they're inviting me out to Poland. This, and he goes, where? Told him the place. He goes, no way, man. I'm like, what? He goes, that's where I'm from. He goes, I'm from like 10, 20 minutes away from there.
Really?
I said, no way, man. He goes, yes. He goes, there's no way you're going to go teach a camp and where I'm from. He goes, he couldn't believe it. And I'm like, yeah, this is the guy's info and this and that. And he goes, yeah, man. He goes, go. It'll be great. You're going to have a good time. So I reached back out to Yacht. I'm like, I'm in. I'm coming, you know? So,
perfect.
And that's how it came about. And actually on this trip, Guess who's here with me? Wojciech. He came out.
So, really?
Yeah, yeah, he's here. He's the... Okay. Yeah, he was there. You saw him on the mats. Okay. He was wearing a black gi today. But he's here with me this trip, which is really cool. Yeah, and that's how it came about, man. That's how I like to do my research. I try to find friends of mine who've been to these places, and I always ask. To me, that's the best way to get a good feel for where you're going.
If I would be on his place, I would be trolling you as fuck. You know, like I will tell you stuff about white bears on the streets, because at the end you will see that it's everything is normal here. But there are still some, you know, stereotypes about Eastern Europe, about Poland in US or in the West.
Of course,
there are many people who really think it's still like a communism here.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. And I, you know, me coming from America, I always hear about the Eastern Bloc. Like, man, the Eastern Bloc, man, it's dangerous. It's crazy. And look, anywhere in the world you go, there's dangerous places, right? Anywhere you go. But when I came here, I'm like, man, this is so beautiful here. So peaceful. And like there's like a peaceful vibe when you see the mountains. Like I'm staying at the castle, not too far from here. I went to the top of the castle and you see the whole view. I'm like, man, it's just so, the air is fresh. It's so green and people are friendly. I'm like, this is beautiful out here. So it's, you know, you got to go see places for yourself.
Yeah. It's funny because, you know, in most situations you would visit like a, you know, Warsaw or something,
bigger
city.
Yeah.
And you here have like a tradition of showing up in really, really small town on the border. So that gives you probably the different perspective than, I don't know, some other black belts who maybe teach seminars here.
Right.
So it's really funny. And about this stereotypes, do you remember this movie comedy Eurotrip?
Yeah,
and the Slovakia scene.
Yes, I do remember that movie.
Oh, a penny. Yeah. I'm gonna buy my own hotel. It's like, you know, it's a little offending.
Of course.
In theory.
I can only imagine.
It's funny as hell. And I believe we here in Poland don't have a problem with that particular scene and this particular movie.
Right.
But it's show up the way of thinking of many people. So probably the people think like that. So it's cool that you could, you know, experience it. It would be fun also to visit like a
100%.
Bigger city or something like that, you know?
100%. I mean, I always tell this to people. One of the biggest things that I'm, you know, one of the things that I love the most about my career and my path and the things I've been so blessed to be able to do is travel the world. There's no better teacher than that, in my opinion. When you get to travel the world and see different cultures and different countries and different cities, big or small, it's amazing, man. It really opens your eyes to the world and to learning new things and understanding different ways of life and different ways of thinking and different foods and different religions and all that good stuff, you know? So traveling is amazing. If you ever have the opportunity to travel, this is a message to anybody out there. If you ever have the chance to travel or, you know, use jiu-jitsu to travel as an excuse, right? Go do jiu-jitsu camps, this and that. Take it. Take the opportunity because it's one of the greatest teachers I've ever had in my life, being able to see the world.
So what would be the most exotic place you visit?
Ooh, exotic place?
Yeah, like really, really not a common place to go.
That's a really good question. I would say not common place to go. That's a really good question. I've been to a lot of different places.
Something like, I don't know, in Asia or something like that.
So I actually went to, I mean, at least for me, I don't hear too many people talk about going there because it's so far away, but I went to New Zealand and that was really cool.
Yeah.
That was really cool, man. Really far away though, super long flight.
Yeah.
But I remember I did a seminar tour out in that area of the world, in that part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I went from New York. I flew to Honolulu, Hawaii. Mm-hmm. I spent a few days in Hawaii teaching a few seminars. From Hawaii, went to Australia. From Australia, spent a few days there, taught a few seminars. From Australia, went to New Zealand. And when I went to New Zealand, I heard that this is the place where they filmed some scenes of, what's that movie?
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. There you go.
Most of the Lord of the
Rings. Yeah, they were filmed there. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's this a huge statue in the airport in Auckland there, and they said this statue was in the movie. And it was really cool. And so I got to see I was in the city of Auckland, and they took me to some, you know, got to see a little bit of the coast, like see the ocean and stuff like that. And it's amazing. You know, it was really cool. Another place that was really cool for me to visit was actually Tahiti. I went to Tahiti after New Zealand. So I've spent like a couple days in New Zealand, then to Tahiti. And from Tahiti, I took a ferry to another island called Mora Mora. It was a small island. And that's where you see a lot of people vacation. Like they have like the over the water bungalows where you, you know, you can stay. It's beautiful. You can swim with sharks there. But the thing that I thought was really cool was that they have these beaches that are volcanic beaches, right? And the sand is black. And that was something that was, I've never seen before in my life. You know, I've been to many beaches, of course. I got beaches in America. I've been to, you know, the Caribbean islands. I've been to Mexico. Been to a lot of places, right? A lot of tropical places, warm weather, Hawaii. But I've never seen black sand like that. And I'm sure there's black sand in other places, but that was my first time seeing it. And that kind of blew my mind. So that was really cool. That was probably one of the experiences that I treasure the most. And honestly, being here too, right? Being in a small town like this. You know, there's, you know, Yadikusuma is only like 5,000 people here.
Yeah.
Is that correct? Like
probably.
Yeah, yeah. Something like that, right? Really small town. And even being in a place like this is really cool. You know, I'm originally from a big city, New York City. That's where I'm born and raised. So to come to a place like this is totally opposite of what I'm accustomed to or what I've seen. So I would say places like this or Mora Mora, New Zealand have been really cool places I've been to that are obscure and just like, you don't hear too many people about, you don't hear too many people going there because it's just, you know, like you said, you hear mostly about people going to bigger cities and stuff like that. So it was really cool.
You consider yourself a New Yorker?
100%. Okay. In and out, in and out. I'm a New Yorker, born and raised. I'm actually a New Yorican. New Yorican's what, it's a Puerto Rican that's born in New York. So there's a lot of Puerto Rican people in New York. So my family is from the Puerto Rico, which is an island in the Caribbean. So I also have family from the Dominican Republic, which is another island in the Caribbean. So a lot of Caribbean people live or move to the United States, and they settle in places like New York, Boston. I'm not sure why, because those places get cold, and they're from a tropical island. But that's where my parents moved to go to school and to go and to work. And that's where I was born and raised, in New York. So there's a funny joke that when you're Puerto Rican, born and raised in New York, you're a New Yorican.
New Yorican.
Nice. Yeah. So yeah, born and raised in New York, man. I love New York. I, you know, like I said, born and raised there. But then after I was done with school, I wanted to go full in 100% the jiu-jitsu path. And I moved to Maryland, which is right outside Washington, D.C., where the White House is, where the president lives of the United States and all that. And I lived there for about 4 or 5 years. And 4 or 5 years there, my time came up, ended there. And then I ended up moving with a bunch of my teammates and friends to California, San Diego, more specifically, which is across the country, one all the way on the other side. And I lived there for about 4 or 5 years as well. So I spent like 10 years away from home. And after 10 years away from home, I told myself, I think it's time to go back home. And plant my roots and open up my own academy. It's always been a dream of mine since I was a little kid. I told myself as a little kid, I have three goals. My three goals are these. I want to earn my black belt. I want to become a world champion. And I want to open my own academy. And I'm proud to say that I accomplished all three goals that I set for myself as a kid. You know, and of course, there's always more to achieve, right? I'm always working towards achieving more. But yeah, I came back to New York, man. All my family lives there for the most part. Mom, dad, brother, sister, friends. And yeah, it just felt right to go back home after 10 years.
So the essential jiu-jitsu is always that it's said that it's in New Jersey. It's like in state of New Jersey or the city of New Jersey, which is in New York State.
So New York and New Jersey border each other.
Yeah.
They're both very close to one another. You can drive over, you know.
So it is the state of New Jersey.
New York, actually.
Yeah.
We're in the state of New York. But New Jersey's super close.
Yeah.
Maybe like 15 minutes, 20 minutes away. Very close. So I have students who live in New Jersey, who come train, you know. It's all very close to one another. So the state line, like I said, is only a few miles away. But yeah, my academy of Central Jiu-Jitsu is in the state of New York, and we're in White Plains. That's the name of the city.
Okay.
Which is a small city outside of New York City.
Is it the White Plains was the place where Harold and Kumar go to? No, White Castle.
White Castle. White Castle. But we okay. we do have White Castle there, though.
And which borough you are originally from?
I'm from the Bronx.
You are from the Bronx.
The Bronx, yes. Yeah. So I was born in the Bronx. A lot of Puerto Rican people in the Bronx. Mm-hmm. A lot. But I was born there. I lived there until I was like 11, 12 years old. And then my parents bought a house outside the city. They wanted to move outside the city, give us more space and, you know, just a better atmosphere, right?
Sure.
Not saying that the Bronx is bad, but...
They probably achieved some success.
Yeah, of course. They wanted
professional life.
Yeah, 100%. So they bought a house in the suburbs, mm-hmm. a place called Rockland County. And we moved up there. And yeah, I spent my teenage years there, basically. And it was a really cool place. More definitely a kind of a culture shock for me when I first moved there from the city. Mm-hmm. Super quiet, slower pace. But you know, at my age now, I find it peaceful, and I prefer that. I like the.
It's like a regular path for most of the people, probably.
100%.
When you are young, you want to be in the center of the events, and when you are a little bit older, you are looking for more calm. Now it makes more sense for me because I was to ask you why move out of New York for jiu-jitsu, where you have such a level of jiu-jitsu in New York. I don't remember if Marcelo already had his school then, but you had Shaolin.
Yeah.
You had like a Renzo.
Yeah.
So why going to Maryland? And we will talk about Maryland and Lloyd Everett in a while, but why didn't you stay in New York?
So when I first started training in New York, there was very little to no jiu-jitsu, right? There was only a few like purple belts around. My first instructor was actually a blue belt who was actually my karate teacher in the beginning, mm-hmm. right? Marcelo Garcia didn't have an academy yet when I first started training. Henzo's was there, but at the time, Henzo's was known more for MMA.
Yeah.
You know?
The Blue Basement didn't exist
yet. Yeah, it was more of an MMA gym. And then guys like Shaolin, he wasn't in the city just yet either. So I started training jiu-jitsu around 2004, 2005. So still very early on before the big wave of big jiu-jitsu academies opened up, right? Mm-hmm. And then when it was time to move down to Maryland, this is how it happened. I was training and I was cross-training in different places in New York and New Jersey, you know, trying to find better training partners and things like that. And I was competing a lot too. I was competing in almost every tournament I could compete in back then. And through those tournaments and competing, I met this guy named Jared Weiner, who had an academy in Philadelphia. I mean, he was a black belt who liked to compete, and he is high level, right? Coach and competitor. So I started driving down to Philadelphia like twice a week. And that was like 2 hours each way driving, right? And I would go drive down there twice a week to train with him. And he was Lloyd Irvin's first black belt. So through Jared, I made a connection with Lloyd Irvin. And through these tournaments, you know, I was a young guy. I was 16 years old, purple belt, competing against black belts in local tournaments and, you know, having really good matches with these guys. And I remember one time Lloyd Irvin saw me in one of these tournaments and he complimented me. He said, "Hey, man, you have really good jiu-jitsu. You know, keep training hard. If you ever want to come down and train, you're more than welcome to." And of course, at this time, I was training with Jared twice a week. So through that, I made a connection with Lloyd in Maryland. And at a certain point, at brown belt, actually, I got my brown belt from my instructor at the time, who was this guy named Lou Ventiloro in New Jersey. After that, I knew I needed to step my training up if I really wanted to become a world champion one day. So I decided to join Jared's team in Philadelphia, commute there twice a week, do a little bit of training with some friends back home in New York, New Jersey. We had some mats set up. And that's what I did for a while. And at the time, Lloyd was playing with the idea of setting up like a fighter house, like having a house where, you know, you come in and you just focus on training. Mm-hmm. You can stay there and all you do is focus on training. I don't know if you got the idea from like the Ultimate Fighter show, because at that time is when the Ultimate Fighter show kind of started and they had the fighter house and all that. Uh-huh. So it's like similar to that, right? And he put it together. He put this house together and he invited a bunch of young athletes. You know, he had athletes already there, but he invited me down and I took the opportunity. I said, yeah. So I got my black belt from Jared and Lloyd in Philadelphia. And then soon after I got my black belt, I moved full time to Maryland just so I can focus on training. So a lot of people don't know that about me. I didn't start training full time until I was a black belt. You know, up until that point, I was working jobs because I had to make money, right? I had to pay bills. I had to put gas in the car and buy food and things like that. And when Lloyd gave me the opportunity to come down, I saw it as an opportunity to train and focus 100% on becoming a world champion. And I took it. You know, how could I not take it at the time, you know?
Yeah.
So I moved down there and I got to say, you know, that experience that I had there really shaped me as a competitor mentally and physically, because the training was super hard, super tough. Lloyd is a super tough coach where he pushes you past your limits, which is what you need. You know, you need that to become a world champion. So I will always be grateful for all the lessons I learned there. Unfortunately, my time came to an end there, not the way I wanted it to come to an end, you know. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, I'm sure people know about the story and stuff like that. But I made the decision, you know, my story is I made the decision to situate myself where I can focus again on just becoming 100% champion, you know. And that's why I decided to move to California. But again, you know, living in Maryland, living in that fighter house will always be part of my history, part of my story. And I will always credit it to being part of my success today. You know, that's, you know, I would never deny that, but I had to do what was best for me at the time so I can focus 100% on becoming world champion. And that's when I decided to move to California.
Yeah, I remember a lot that Lloyd was like the first guy who really had this awareness about the marketing of jiu-jitsu,
yep,
about showing up some really cool stuff. He was, I would say he was first. I remember this this show for brown belts.
Yeah.
Where Keenan was already a star. Keenan was like after a grand slam,
yep,
on purple belts.
Exactly.
He was like untouchable. And there was this competition for money for black belts all over the world. Mostly American guy. But there was like a Gary Tonon. You know, mm-hmm, nobody knows him.
Mm-hmm.
There was like this guy, Sean Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
He had those
calf crunchers.
Calf crunchers. Yeah. There was Luca Ancoretta
from Italy.
From Italy. Yeah. I think it's like the best guy from Italy. Like,
yeah.
Period.
100%.
And from Darrett O'Connell from Ireland.
Yeah.
Also a star like in Europe then. And I remember you.
Yep.
As a like a senior.
Yes.
Because you are. You was already a black belt.
Yeah.
You and Jimmy Harbison.
Harbison was there too.
And you were like the older guys who had all the laughs about the kids.
Yeah.
There was like this story that they want more money because like Keenan beats everybody. And Gary was the spokesperson for the guys, and you were like, "What the fuck, man? Just win with Keenan, and you will have your money."
Yeah.
But the format was very interesting because those were no limit times bouts.
Yeah,
I remember I was getting back to this show like years after.
Yeah,
because the quality of the stuff was really really nice. So. But I remember you and Jimmy, like, you know, like laughing all those guys, laughing also Keenan.
Yeah.
And Keenan beating everybody like a monster.
Yeah, man. It was a really cool experience. I remember being part of it, just like kind of helping out with an event and just watching. And it was really cool to see all these guys from different places come in and compete with one another. There was a lot of characters, man. A lot of funny characters, a lot of funny moments, a lot of laughs. It was a good time. It was a really good time. And like you were saying about Lloyd, you know, doing the fighter house, doing this brown belt kumite, sub only, all these kind of things. I think he was ahead of his time with certain things he was doing. Yeah, it showed, man. It, you know, even till this day, like right now, we're talking about the brown belt kumite. Right?
Yeah.
And that's probably
kumite,
15 years ago now, maybe even longer. Who knows?
I would say it was like the Danaher Death Squad
Yeah.
before the Danaher Death Squad.
100%. 100%. That Brown Belt Kumite was fun, man. It was fun. And then after the event, everyone was hanging out together. Everyone was having a good time. And it was just, yeah, it was just one of those experiences I will never forget.
Okay, but we have to talk about elephant in the room.
Yeah.
And the reason you left. There were some accusations about sexual misbehavior of two guys who trained them. And then about Lloyd himself.
Right, right.
And I would like to know if that was like a, you know, like a one moment and shock for you and everything like collapsed for you, or it was something off for some time for you?
You know, when everything came about, it was definitely a shock for me, you know, right off the bat. And, you know, unfortunately, when all that news came out and the stories came out, I just knew that I couldn't be in this place. One, because, you know, you never want to be around anything like that, right? And even though that was a place that I loved being at, I loved being there. I loved my teammates. I loved the training environment. I loved the coaching. But when something like that comes out, it's going to be, you know, hard to stand by that, and too hard for you to be in a situation like that and focus. But yeah, it was definitely a shock for me, 100%. Like when everything came out, I was like, whoa, like, this is... crazy, you know what I'm saying?
You wasn't expecting that.
No, and as far as like, you know, was I, you know, like you were just asking me, was it something over time? Or no, you know, because when I was there, you got to remember, I was super focused on training. Like all I thought about was training. All I did was train, sleep, eat, train, repeat, you know? Yeah, I mean, like I said, it was a shock for me when everything came out, and that's when I knew I had to make a decision. And I think it's probably one of the best decisions I've made for myself, because, you know, I moved across the country, and that also forced me to learn lessons and grow as a man as well. But yeah, it was definitely a shock for me, and that's what I decided to do. I said I have to, you know, it's going to be hard for me to focus here.
Okay, and did you consider at that point going somewhere else than Atos?
Yeah, 100%. So
what was on the short list?
So on the short, you know, right off the bat, honestly, when I first left Maryland, I moved back. And I'll move back to New York, right? So my mom lives in New York. So my parents are divorced. My parents split. But my mom lives in New York and my dad lives in New Jersey. So when I moved back, I was splitting time between the two. You know, I'll stay a couple nights there, a couple nights here. And I was trying to figure out what was going to be my next step. Now, at this time, Marcelo Garcia's academy was up and running, right? And Marcelo Garcia at the time was still top dog at ADCC, at Gi Worlds, right? He's a legend, and he was still competing at the time. So I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to stay here in New York. I'm from New York. I can stay with my parents. It'd be a little bit easier for me. I can save a little bit of money by doing so and still focus on training. You know, I can just stay with them. They'll let me stay with them for free. I just got to worry about, you know, buying food and putting gas in the car. And I thought to myself that's what I'm going to do, right? And I sat down with my dad. So my dad is very involved. So is my mom, right, in my life. But my dad has always been very involved with taking me to tournaments, taking me to training practices. He's been involved with my martial arts career my whole life. So he's someone I always talk with about my decisions. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, you know, what do you think about this or that? And I remember sitting down with him in his apartment in New Jersey and telling him my idea. I was like, listen, I think I'm going to stay here and start training with Marcelo Garcia. You know, I'll join Alliance and join Marcelo's academy and continue on my goal of becoming a world champion. Or my friend Keenan keeps messaging me to come to San Diego. Because when we all left, Keenan had asked me, he goes, where would you go train if you could train anywhere you could? I said, man, if I could pick anywhere to train, I'd probably go train at Atos in San Diego with Andre Galvao. Because someone like Andre Galvao is someone I've always looked up to as a competitor. I remember watching him as a white belt, blue belt, and he was someone that stood out to me because...
What year was that?
That I moved to California?
Yeah.
I think 2012.
Okay, so right after ADCC in England.
Yes, and Nottingham.
When Andre get...
Double gold.
Double gold.
So I was actually Matt's side for that event, because I actually competed in that event. That was my first ADCC in 2011.
Really?
Yep.
I was there, you know?
You were?
Yeah. I went with two of my friends, my coach, one of my coaches, Adam.
Yeah.
And my friend, Łukasz. And both guys, Łukasz also had now academy in,
cool.
in around, in city next to my city. And it was really, really cool trip. One of the coolest trip,
yeah.
the coolest jiu-jitsu trip in my life.
Yeah.
Especially, it happened that I don't know why, but we think everything will be cheaper. And after we land, it's happened that we don't have place to sleep, don't have way to communicate, and we don't have enough money. So Łukasz, who's his coach, was competing.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
He fought Pablo Popovich in his first fight. And he take phone and he called in, Zbyszku, we need help. And we stay on the floor in the Polish guy's room in the competitor's hotel.
Really?
So, you know, you going to the elevator and there is Rusamel Pajares.
Yeah.
No, you know, to the lobby and there is Gabi Garcia and Marcelo.
Yeah.
You go to the gym and there is a Victor Estima who start the conversation in Poland, in Polish, because his wife is Polish, you know.
Oh, he can speak Polish?
Yeah,
a
little bit. Both Estima brothers have a Polish
really?
Wives. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Good choice.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was like so cool trip. And then we had like they get us some ideas to get to after the show to get on the floor. And so I talked with Cobrinha about
wow.
about, you know, the decision in his final. It was fantastic. And sorry that I didn't remember that you also competed.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah, it was my first one. So actually I fought Clark Gracie first round
yeah.
and I beat Clark Gracie. And then the second round I fought Leo Vera.
Oh, okay.
And Leo Vera beat me.
Was in the final.
Yeah, he was in the final against Marcel Garcia.
Yeah.
And he beat me because I pulled guard.
Ooh.
I didn't even know the rules.
So negative point.
I got a negative point. But it was a good experience for me. It was my first one. And, you know, look, that experience led me to winning two ADCC titles, and I'm hunting for a third one still. But, yeah, going back to what I was saying, mm-hmm. Andre was someone I always looked up to. Always looked up to him. And I remember being Matt's side watching his double gold run. And I remember telling Keenan, if I could move anywhere, I would probably go to San Diego and train with Andre. And the reason why I said San Diego, because living as a kid in New York, you always see movies. You see California in movies, and you're like, wow, they got palm trees, nice beaches. I want to live there one day. You know, New York, we get nice weather, but it gets cold, it rains, it snows. And, you know, seeing California in movies as a kid, it looks so cool. So that's why I told him. I said, that's where I would go. And then Keenan kept messaging me, or I kept messaging him too. I'm like, hey, how's the training on Atos? He goes, man, it's really good. You should come. I was like, I don't know. I think I'm going to stay here and train with Marcel Garcia. He goes, I think you should come to San Diego. I'm like, I don't have any money. I don't have any plans. I don't know anybody there. I don't know if I could. I, you know, I'm broke. I don't got any money, man. And he was like, you should come. And I remember telling my dad, I'm like, yeah, but they're also inviting me to go train with Andre Galvao at Atos. And my dad was like, you should move to San Diego. I said, you think so? He goes, you should leave New York. I said, really? He goes, get out, because here you'd be too comfortable. He goes, you need to go somewhere where you don't know anyone, you don't know anything, and it would help you become a man too.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, wow. I said, okay. So I packed my bag.
How old was you?
I was maybe 22, 23. 22. Yeah.
Okay.
So I said, okay. So I messaged Andre, because I met Andre at ADCC 2011, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I was so excited because we got onto the bus to take the athletes to the event, ADCC. And I remember getting onto the bus and seeing Andre on the bus, and I was like, hey, Professor Gravano. He goes, hey, what's up, JT? I'm like, oh my God, he knows my name. and then he said, hey, I'm a big fan of your game. I was like, oh my God, I'm a big fan of your game. I'm like, and I was like, oh my God, this guy.
Easton Boner.
Yeah. I'm like, this guy knows who I am. He likes my jiu-jitsu. Oh my God, that's amazing. So I reached out to him, and I said, hey, you know, I would love to move to San Diego. And he said, come to San Diego. I said, okay. So I showed up, bought a one-way ticket. I showed up with a couple hundred bucks to my name and no plan whatsoever. I had no place to stay. I had nothing. And I figured it out, man. I ended up staying on the floor at people's apartments for a while until a bunch of us got an apartment together, and little by little we built up, you know. And you know, moving to California was one of the best decisions I've ever made for myself. People nowadays, more than ever, are afraid to leave their comfort zone, right? But that's where you're going to make your most growth. That's where you're going to really learn more about yourself and force you to man up, force you to, you know, figure it out and make it happen for yourself. So moving out to California did exactly that. And I'm glad I made that decision, because it's again, all these experiences I've had in life throughout my years have helped me become who I am today. And San Diego is a big part of that.
San Diego is another savage place for jiu-jitsu. Like,
yeah,
Atos, of course, Legion, Kenan's Legion. But there are still few really good academies, and the big names that also had academies in San Diego. When San Diego isn't, like, in the, of course, U.S. Perspective, such a big city.
No, it's not. It's a small city.
It's really nice. It's really cool. I was there also.
Yeah, yeah.
I was in Atos. I didn't train because, you know, trip to the U.S. is already expensive.
Expensive, yeah. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, like, it would be cool to train in Atos, but probably I will get to some random, let's say, group. I wouldn't, you know, like, train with the pros.
Yeah.
So I just went there to see this, to make a photo.
Cool.
But San Diego was really nice. On the other hand, I need to say about this California weather.
Yeah.
And everybody says California weather is the best. It's always sunny.
Yeah.
And I was there in, like, February.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that nice.
No.
San Diego was good.
Yeah.
That was, but in LA, we were, like, really cold. And
yeah.
We were using our jackets, and we are from Poland. We are used to it.
Yeah, of course.
And Californians, on the other hand, I would think they will be even more cold because we are prepared.
Yeah,
we are
yeah.
from Europe. And they didn't give a fuck. They have, like, a
shorts,
hoodie, and flip flops.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was, what the fuck?
You know, it's a different kind of cold weather out there. And it's true. Everyone says, oh, California's the best weather. Yeah, it's nice weather, right? But even I was in San Diego just a few weeks ago. It was, you know, a little cold. You know, it gloomy a little bit too. And yeah, look, it's nice. But what was I going to say? It's a different kind of cold though, because it's that. You get that wind chill from the ocean, mm-hmm. right? And it's like, it's different, you know, it's a little bit different. And, but yeah, I agree with you, man. It's awesome. It's awesome out there, but the weather definitely is not like what you see in the movies, you know, but it's nice though. I'm not gonna lie. It is nice, but
I
like New York. I like New York weather better. I like all four seasons.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. New York still have, yeah, four seasons and the nice summer and really cozy winters.
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
I think you go a little bit north, like Massachusetts, yeah, Boston, yeah, yeah. And then it's starting to get really tough.
Really? In the winters, oh, yeah, right? Yeah, 100%, 100%. But yeah, I found myself missing the four seasons when I was living in California. Mm-hmm. I remember my first year in California, I was like, oh man, I missed the fall. I missed the winter. I missed the spring, because it's kind of the same all year around there. But yeah, man.
Yeah, and New York as a, you know, like a capital of the world, let's say.
Yeah.
And they make immortal every weather, like in movies and stuff like that. You know the fall in New York. Even I live in Poland, but I know it from Hollywood, you know, from
yeah,
movies.
Yeah, of course.
Fall, winter, you know, like the Rockefeller Plaza, ice skates,
yeah.
Everything like that. So so I believe that you could find something fun every time in New York in case of weather and not only the weather.
100%, 100%. There's always something to do in New York.
What? Because, you know, everybody knows California,
yeah.
And New York. And
yeah.
I have to tell, I am a little bit freaked about US.
Yeah.
About the history, geography, society,
yeah,
culture.
Yeah.
It's my thing.
Yeah.
I like to read about it, hear about it. I hear a lot of podcasts, reading a lot of books. Even some time ago, I would say I could name every capital of every state.
Oh, wow.
If you ask me. Now, probably I will make some mistakes, but we can play.
Yeah, 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 that's cool.
But most people don't know that much about the, you know, Midwest or Pacific Northwest or stuff like that. What would you recommend to see in the USA for the people who maybe not know about it so much that it's not obvious?
A state
or a city or a place or a national park, but not obvious. Not the first pages of the, you know, newspaper.
I would say this is one that people don't talk about a lot. Upstate New York.
Okay.
Upstate New York is beautiful, man. When people think of New York, people think of what? New York City. That's it. Like when you say New York, it's like, oh, New York City. New York City is huge, but it's just a small part of the state of New York, right? If you go to upstate New York, it's beautiful. Mountains, lakes, beautiful trails where you can go hiking and camping. Really great outdoor things to do in the state of New York. Like there's a place that me and my wife love to go. It's called Lake George. It's like 3 hours from where we live up north. Mm-hmm. And it's so peaceful. You're in the mountains, in the woods, lakes. You know, it's a great place. So I think people are surprised about that. People who don't know, people who are not from the States, people who are not from, I mean, even people who are from the States, when I tell them about it, you know, someone from California, when I tell them, yeah, we got great mountains and trails and hiking and woods and this and that, they're like, what, really? New York does? I'm like, yeah, there's a lot more to New York, a lot more than just New York City. So that's one place that I think people overlook sometimes, don't even think about, or don't even know. They don't even know about it, right?
People don't know that New York State is such a big state.
Yeah, it's a huge state.
It's bordering with Canada, right?
Yeah.
I spotted the situation that people looking for the map and it's just like, what the fuck?
It's
New York.
Yeah, like I have an affiliate academy in Buffalo, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And in Buffalo, New York, it's pretty north, you know, very north.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see Canada right over the side. You know, it's you can see it right over the water. Like, oh, there's Canada right there. So yeah, I mean, like even places like Niagara Falls, like that's a huge, huge place in New York. And, you know, people are mind blown. That's even in New York. It's like, whoa, I thought New York was the only city.
I have to check the Niagara Falls someday because I always like, this place that when I see it on the movies, on the photos, I think it's not that big of a deal, I think.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, with all my love, my interesting, and I, of course, want to see
of course,
it.
Of course, yeah.
But I think it would be a little bit disappointing.
I mean, yeah, if you're traveling all the way from Poland, for example, I'm like, yeah, there's other cooler things to see, I would say. It is cool to see, but, you know, then you got other things throughout America, like the Grand Canyon. That's really cool to see.
Was there?
That's like a sight to see. Like, whoa, like, this is crazy, you know?
What was very, very impressing for me?
What's that?
Hoover's Dam.
Yeah, that's really cool too.
It was like really gigantic and impressive and this like a epic.
Yeah, I agree.
Like that. And in the Grand Canyon, my wife called it the best. It's like a hologram. I can't believe it's real.
Right, yeah.
It's like a hologram. It's not real. Let's go.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
There is some truth in that.
Yeah, 100%, man. I agree. Yeah, it's beautiful, man. There's a lot of beautiful things to see. I've never been, actually, but I want to check out like Yellowstone National Park.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what I was saying earlier in our conversation, now that I'm a little bit older, I enjoy this peacefulness of, you know, space and quiet and peaceful and fresh air. And I've been more, what's the word, interested in seeing places like Wyoming, Montana,
mm-hmm.
you know, Yellowstone National Park, Utah. I want to see places like that. I think it'd be really cool. So that's on my list right now as places to check out. And actually Lake Tahoe, which is also in California.
Yeah.
All these places where it's outdoors and fresh air and just beautiful natural beauty in nature. So yeah, there's tons of places to check out, but you know, those places are known, like Yellowstone and Lake Tahoe, but people don't know about upstate New York. Upstate New York is also very, very beautiful.
Yeah. East Coast is something like I'm really hope that I will be in US many, many times still.
That'd be great, man.
Yeah, I have to find a way to make the podcast, profitable.
Yeah, of course, of course.
And then definitely I would visit like the different areas like Pacific Northwest. I really want to see the South,
yeah.
Like deep South.
Yeah.
The biblical belt,
yeah,
and try soul food,
yeah,
and
yeah.
There is a great book, Deep South, about I don't remember now the name of the author, but it is really, really deep inside the mind of the people, and for many people that could be not interesting because it's like a poor.
Yeah.
Region of
yeah.
the
country,
of
yeah.
the country, but I would like to see it. Like,
yeah,
really. I used to say that my dream trip. You have 50 states.
Yeah.
You have 50 around 50 weeks.
Yeah.
In a year.
Uh-huh.
So 1 week in every state.
Wow.
But after time, I think that's not really a good idea, and it's gonna be better to find those 10, 12 areas,
yeah.
And focus not every to see every state. Like there is nothing in Wyoming as far as
I
know.
Yeah. No, I hear you, man. Actually, I drove across the country twice with my wife. Actually, we drove to California,
mm-hmm.
and we drove back to New York when we moved back to New York. So that was really a cool way to see the country.
Did you switch the route?
I did. So going from the east to the west, I drove through the northern part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And then going from west to north, mm-hmm. or yeah, west to east, I went through the southern part of the country. And it's very different from one another, man. That's for sure. Very different. But it was cool to see. That's if I can recommend something, that's a really cool way to see the country too. Get like a one of those RVs, like the camper trucks that you drive around, and just drive across the country and mm-hmm. stop at a few spots and see what they got what they have to offer, and keep it moving.
JT, let's get back to jiu-jitsu.
Okay, let's do it.
Worlds 2023.
Yes.
Great fight with Nathan.
Ah, thank you.
My first thought, did you have like a proper camp, the real preparations, or it was, I'm in the shape, I train every day, I'm going, I will try, or there was like a camp, a preparation, you were going
yeah.
like a, you know.
Yeah, full camp. We had a full camp,
okay.
a good camp. I wasn't sure if I was doing the Worlds up until the point where we started the camp. You know, I was like, I haven't competed in Worlds in a couple years. You know, there's no secret. Like, there was a couple years where I didn't compete because of COVID, right? And I think that kind of threw off my rhythm and my momentum I had when I was winning back-to-back ADCC titles. I won a Pan Am title, my second Pan Am title. Had a really good momentum going for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pandemic happened and I stopped competing for like 2 years. I had to focus on how was I going to keep the gym open and this and that. And, you know, for a while my gym was closed. Training wasn't the same. Some people didn't want to train. Some people wanted to train. So it was like a rough time. But, you know, fast forward, you know, we reopened. We're doing well again. And now we're getting back to competing on a regular schedule, right? And I said, you know, I'm not sure if I'm going to do the Worlds this year or not. Let's see. And then I decided to jump into it. So I did the whole camp with my students.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I jumped in. I felt good, you know. I know I could compete better, you know. No discredit to Nathan or whatsoever. You know, he's someone who competes a lot right now. You know,
he's young, he's hungry.
Yeah, he's a young competitor, you know. He's silver medal at Euros, silver medal at Brazilian Nationals. But I know I'm better than that. And like I said, I'm not taking anything away from him, but I think for me right now, I just need to continue competing just to get myself back in that rhythm,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
back in that mindset, and just, you know, back to it. And that's what I'm looking forward to doing. You know, I want to give myself another couple years of competing. I am getting older, you know, I'm turning 34 in September, but there's something still inside of me that wants to keep going. So yeah, you know, it's about getting that rhythm again, and, you know, hopefully I see him again. That's all I'm going to say.
I have to tell you that we have like in our team that inside like competition. About the scoring.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was going through the lightweight schedule and was, fuck it, JT will do this.
Yeah,
I will go with JT.
Thank you, man.
And then I was, okay, Nathan in the first. Oh, that's going to be tough.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's, you know, now they're doing the rankings, right? Which, look, I respect that they're doing the rankings. I think it's pretty cool. At the same time, it gets people to compete more and stuff like that to get the ranking points. So I knew I was going to draw someone first round that's been competing a lot more than I have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happened. But, I mean, that's not an issue for me. I'm down to compete against the best guys in the world.
Mm-hmm.
First fight, last fight, it doesn't matter to me.
It was close.
You know, I think to me, though, I just got to compete more. I need to get myself a little bit more out there, a little bit more comfortable again competing on the big stage. And I'm going to do exactly that. You know I still got more left in the gas tank. And I had a full camp, felt good. Just I think for me, it's just about getting more momentum going again.
Sorry, I have iPhone from like a few days because I smashed my phone, my Android phone.
And oh,
I
nice.
Don't even know how to
use it. Still learning.
Like,
welcome to the
reject the connection.
Welcome to the Apple world, man.
I don't want.
You got
to
the MacBook too, I see.
It's my friend give it to me.
Ah, okay.
I would say MacBooks are okay.
Yeah.
I used to, in one of my jobs, I was work on MacBook and it was really quick to learn it. And
it was nice. Yeah.
And I like MacBooks. I hate iPhones. I want the Android phone.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah. If you get back to regular competing, then everything, of course, could happen. Really close fight with Nathan. Nathan, I believe, lost to
Jackson, the guy.
Okay.
He lost to Jackson, the guy, afterwards.
Yeah. That was like us. The whole, his Jackson was, I would say, surprise, you know?
Yeah.
He was silver medalist. He lost to Jonathan Alves.
He took third. He lost him in the semifinals.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
He took third. Yeah, he did well. You know, listen, all these guys are, everyone's training hard. Everyone's getting better. Everyone's improving. And that's the cool thing about competing at these tournaments, right? You never know whose day it's going to be. It's the way it goes, you know?
Okay, next big thing for Essential, Fionn. Yeah. Fionn get back and gets what's hers.
She got her double, her second world title.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm so impressed with her. She's such a hard worker in the room. She trains hard. She's very coachable. She competes hard too. Like, you see her when she's out there. She's of course, there's technique and this and that, but she fights with her heart. You know, she gives it all. And that's exactly what you want out of your athletes. And I'm so happy for her. You know, she deserves all the success that's coming her way. Hard work works, you know. That's plain and simple.
Yeah, it's funny. It's happened to that the women's categories are now very, very enjoyable. And it's worth to watch it.
Oh, yeah.
I remember like last ADCC, I was, you know, before I, with the woman categories, I checked something, but not much.
Right.
And now I checked everything.
Yeah, it's exciting.
It was like so exciting. It happened more, you know, more.
Of
there
course.
Was more points, more little mistakes who someone take it and then make their own mistakes. It's fun to watch on the lower belts.
100%. I mean, the women in jiu-jitsu, the women categories are just getting better and better and deeper with talent, right? There's so many more women coming over into the sport now, which is really cool to see. And it's exciting. Like, I remember the last Grand Prix that IBJJF did? The most exciting matches on that card were the women. You know, I remember I was in Oklahoma. I have an affiliate in Oklahoma. We were there, and after I did a 3-day camp over there. You know, shout out to my guy Jackson out there. But the most exciting part of that card that night were the women matches, you know. So it was cool to see. You know, it's really cool to see, and it's cool to be able to work with someone like Fionn who's on the forefront of the women's, you know, jiu-jitsu. She's one of the best, and I think forever she will go down in history as one of the best jiu-jitsu fighters in the world, right? ADCC world champion, 2-time black belt world champion with the gi now. Yeah. I mean, she's done it all.
Yeah, also that she has such a tough competitor in Luisa Monteiro.
Oh, yeah.
In this category. She lost in the semifinal.
To Brianna St. Marie, I think.
Yeah, this time that wasn't a final, but still, I believe that makes her want to get more and more and more success to fight with her.
100%.
Maybe there is someone from Essential you would like to shout out. Maybe some brown belts or purple belts. I know that it's tricky to say too much about the guys who are on the up and up.
I won't say any specific names just because I have too many names to name. Mm-hmm. Right. I have a big group of young, hungry competitors on the rise. I also have a really big group of master competitors too, who are also hungry and on the rise too. And I also have a big group of kids who are also hungry on the rise. So, you know, instead of just naming one name, you know, I always want to give a shout out to the entire Essential team, because I mean, I've built my career off competing, right? That's how I was able to build my gym. You know, I was able to make money and build a brand for myself through competing and becoming world champion, this and that. And I think naturally when I do that, I'm going to attract people to the academy who may want to compete one day, right? And if they don't want to compete, eventually when they hang around me long enough, they get the bug. Like, mm-hmm. You know, I want to try it. Mm-hmm. I want to get out there. Mm-hmm. And I never tell my students that it's mandatory to compete. I always say, look, if you want to get better, if you want to see where your level's at, compete. That's the best way to do it. Right? You're going to see. He's going to give you a good benchmark. Did you get smashed? Did you win? Did you not feel good? Like, it's going to give you a good idea of where you're at, right? It's going to give you a good sense of direction and where to go as far as improving.
It's also a camaraderie thing, going together to the competition. And I think about people who hesitate a little bit. The great thing is to organize time to time those little matches on training sessions.
Yes.
Like, you know, when you judge it, you give the points, the people shouting.
Yeah. Super fights.
I remember I was shocked when first time my coach decided, let's do this. Mateusz and someone, right? I was already like a competitor. I compete a lot on white and blue belt.
Nice.
So it wasn't like that I didn't know how to.
What belt are you now?
I'm a fresh brown belt.
Nice. Congratulations. Yeah,
thank you. It's, you know, like I believe it's more like years on the mats, but. Okay, no, I won't be false, modest. I am a brown belt.
Nice.
I deserve it. And I believe this match was when I was purple belt, and it was like after that, like, whoa, I do sparring sessions, like, you know, every training, two times a week, only sparring sessions, every Saturday, every Wednesday, 8 fights, 9 fights. I know this, but... And this is the guy I know I fight. This is my coach who, it's not like a referee from IBJJF.
Yeah.
And still it was like so much more than a normal sparring.
Yeah, of course.
So for like a white belt, it's like a perfect way to introduce him to the competition. Do you use sometimes this method?
Yeah, 100%. I think it's a great way to get people... accustomed to what they're going to experience when they go compete, right? When you go compete, you see people that you don't know shouting for you, for you, against you, coaching you, yelling, ah, bah, you know, there's a lot of activity going on. So I think when you do like those little super fights in the gym, especially for the groups who want to compete, I think it's important. I think it's really good.
JT, what you are doing when you don't train? What's your hobby outside of jiu-jitsu? I heard... From Kamil Drukawa, Polish black belt.
Yep.
He's here. He met you like last time you were here. Yeah, that you are a gamer.
Yeah, I am. Especially during the pandemic, I really went all in. I got a custom PC built.
Ooh, yeah.
I went all in, man.
So
I went,
not like a PS.
No PlayStation, like, no Xbox. I have a PC, a gaming PC. Yeah, man, I went all in. I used to, you know, during the pandemic, Warzone, Call of Duty Warzone blew up, like got so popular. And I really, I've always played video games, right? Growing up as a kid, always played it. Mortal Kombat, you know, NBA 2K, Call of Duty, Super Mario Brothers, you know, Smash Brothers, you know, everything. I played all those games growing up as a kid. And then Warzone came out, and it was a really cool way to, you know, do something to pass the time and to stay connected with your friends, because it was so cool to play with your friends on a team and stuff like that. So I did that with students of mine. We all went all in and played Warzone so much. I don't play as much anymore just because, I'll be honest with you, they released a new Warzone 2, and I just, I don't want to say I hate it, but I'm just, I just dislike it. Let's use that word. I dislike it. Like, I just, I miss the old movement, the mechanics, and just the overall gameplay, I think, was so much better. And I know people are like, oh, this means you suck at the game, or but you can't adjust or whatever. I'm like, listen, I don't care. You play whatever you want to play. I play what I want to play. So, yeah, I just miss playing the old one. And for a while, they still kept the smaller map, even though they released a new one. Now they just took everything away from the old map, right? I'm talking specifically Rebirth for those Warzone players out there. Okay. You guys know what I mean. You guys know what I mean. They still have Caldera, though. I can still play Caldera. But I remember when Caldera came out, I hated that too. I thought the map was just terrible. Mm-hmm. You know, they had something so good in Verdansk. You know, the Verdansk map, I think, in my opinion, was so good. And I remember people complaining, like, we need something new, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, no, shut up. And of course, they gave us something new, and it was terrible, in my opinion. And, you know, it is what it is now. And, you know, obviously, too, you know, I got back to training full-time, running my academy full-time, so I'm busier now, which is good. I'm glad. But even on the weekends, I still game. I still enjoy it. Actually, before I came out here to Poland, a lot of my friends and teammates and students were telling me, you got to get on Apex Legends. That's a better battle royale. So I actually downloaded it before I came out here. I haven't got a chance to get on it yet. Because I'm someone that when I do something, I want to figure it out, everything. I want to learn everything, all the mechanics, all the movement, everything.
Okay.
So I say, you know, when I get back from Poland, I'll dive into this, you know.
About Call of Duty, I remember I used to play with three of my friends on, that was like the first release of Call of Duty, or the Call of Duty 2 maybe.
Yeah.
And we played on a like a local network.
Yeah.
We had like the small street. Those were my neighbors, my guys.
Yeah.
And we were playing, you know, two teams, two guys.
Yep.
We were taking some bigger map like Hurtgen.
Yeah.
The winter map.
Yeah.
And we play only with sniper rifles.
Nice.
And it was two sniper teams, you know, hunting for each other.
Nice.
And it was especially good where it was really winter.
Outside here.
Outside, yeah. And it was so, so climactic, yeah.
That's really cool, man.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
So FPS, it's your junior?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the first-person shooters I love, you know.
Something other, maybe? Some games like... Like, I'm like third person perspective
guy. Okay, cool.
Like the game of my life is like first Mafia.
Okay.
I love GTA.
GTA?
GTA, yeah. It's GTA in Poland.
Yeah.
So it was weird to say GTA for me.
How do you say it in Poland?
GTA.
That sounds cool, man. I kind of like that.
You know, like...
GTA.
People... I play on console and... Not very often. Also, I have like one time a year, two times a year. I have like this period when I play for 2-3 weeks, like a psycho.
Yeah.
Then I go through some game. I end it, and now I can wait another half year.
Right.
But GTA, like, people play, I don't know, FIFA.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I will play one match or two, or they play, I don't know, Mortal Kombat, like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
I have, like, GTA 5.
Yeah.
Fully at the end of the game with all the money, all the stuff.
Yeah.
I can, like, for half an hour going through, make some madness in the city, run out for police, and it's like for me like matching FIFA, you know.
That's funny.
So it's my way to.
That's cool, man.
To play and so maybe something that still you have like a sentiment other than shooters.
I used to play GTA too a lot as a kid.
Two.
Yeah, okay. I used to play all the time, man.
Yeah.
NBA 2K. I always enjoyed NBA 2K. But I gotta say, my main game was Call of Duty.
Okay.
I've always been a big Call of Duty fan.
Is it like if you are a Call of Duty fan, you are like a Battlefield hater? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, 100%. 100%, man. But now my mind is open to new opportunities, right? Because I just dislike this new one so much, man. Look, I downloaded Apex. Like, I went to like a competitor, you know, Battle Royale game. So we'll see what happens. You know, we'll see what happens when I get back home. If I like it that much, maybe I'll start streaming again. You know, I remember I started streaming on Twitch when I used to play a lot of Verdansk, and people were actually enjoying the stream, and I was making some money off the stream. It was actually not. Yeah, it was nice, man. It was
like
cool.
Mighty Mouse.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see what happens, man. I'll get back to it, man. But yeah, man, if Warzone or the Call of Duty team is listening to this, please bring back Warzone 1, man, because Warzone 2 is trash.
Camille said that after this last time you were there, you were talking about maybe play each other a little bit.
Yeah.
Something it didn't happen. I will you know, make
it happen. We gotta make it happen. We gotta make it happen.
So tomorrow after the sparring, you could, okay, we spar in jiu-jitsu, now we will
spar in Warzone.
Yeah,
absolutely, man.
Okay, JT, since we have to take you to the dinner,
let's do it.
Jarek will kill me, but I have one more question.
Sure,
something
sure.
Like,
go
I ask every my guest.
Okay.
If someone calls you and ask for a private lesson,
sure,
for someone who you be like excited to have like the private lesson with that person, I mean, no, like a fighter, but like a famous person, I don't know, actor, singer, writer, whatever, you would be like, you know, excited to meet him, to talk to him, to show him jiu-jitsu, to show him the thing you love. Who would you like to ask you about the private lesson?
Oh, that's a really, really good question. Oh, man. That's a good question, man. Who would I be excited? Let's see. I think someone I would like to kind of teach, and because like you said, when you teach someone a private lesson, you get to know that person a little bit, right? And get to hang out with them and talk to them for a little bit.
Yeah,
I think it would probably have to be someone like, oh man, that's tough. Someone like Action Bronson, you know,
okay.
Action Bronson,
yeah, I know him.
I think he seems like a really cool person, like real funny, real down to earth. And I've seen that he does a little bit of jiu-jitsu sometimes here and there, and he's gotten into fitness and all that.
Okay.
And yeah, I think that'd be kind of cool to get on the mats with him one day. I think it'd be kind of cool to, you know, teach him and kind of talk to him a little bit and get to know him a little bit more, because he seems like a really cool person to talk to.
And maybe then have a track with him.
Yeah, that'd be cool. You never know. We'll see.
You believe you can like sing? You have the talent for singing? Or
of course,
like,
man. Singing, dancing, acting, I can do it all, baby.
Okay.
I can do it all. Hollywood, give me the call whenever you need.
I ask because I always saying that if I have like a music ear,
yeah,
and a skill, I would be a star.
Of course.
But I don't have.
Listen, I think you are already a star.
I have like a record one rap song.
You do?
Yeah, it was like a joke. Yeah, it was like a joke. It was like a diss for our friend, because he used to... We call it Zamulanie.
Zamulanie?
Zamulanie.
Zamulanie.
It's like when you, you know, your friend is, let's go, let's have some fun, let's go to do something. And he was like, no, I will stay at home for no reason.
Just doesn't want to go out.
Yeah. And it was like really regular for him. So at one day we get pissed, and one of our guys at this time, he was a producer. So he choose some track from his hard drive, and we get to make a diss.
That's funny, man.
But it was like for him, for the guy who recorded,
yeah,
with me, it was like a painful experience. Because I, after like two bars, I was out of the beat. Like
I'm done.
Yeah, but in the end, it's great.
It's great. Yeah, that's cool, man.
No, so yeah. Okay, Action Bronson. Yeah, JT, you are the star of jiu-jitsu. If Action Bronson is really doing jiu-jitsu, it's really easy to make it happen.
I know. I gotta make it happen, man. We'll make it happen. We'll make it happen one day. I believe it.
I will tag him in story.
That'd be awesome,
this
dude.
Podcast.
Dude, that'd be awesome. Please do.
I will make it happen.
Please do. Thank you, man. Appreciate you,
JT. It was a huge honor for me, as would Bernardo Faria would say. And you're a really cool guy. It's really obvious that, you know, you have this American vibe, this approach that even in when you like talk to somebody and someone say hello and you just don't say hello, but what's up?
Yeah.
You smile. It's really cool.
I loved it
about the Americans. Not everybody like this. We are a little bit different in Poland.
We are
cool, but after a while, we have to know
get
somebody.
To know you a little bit more.
You are like, you know, up to the front, you are happy and smiley, and I love it, and hope that you will show up in Poland again and again and again.
Maybe, I'll be back.
Maybe to the north, to my city.
That'd be cool.
I would be keen on, we have like a big academy in the north of Poland, so.
That'd be really cool, man. Let's make that happen too.
We will.
Appreciate you, brother. Thank you.
Let's go for dinner.
Let's do it. Thank you, man.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you, man. That was great, man. That was fun, man.
Dzięki za wysłuchanie odcinka do końca. Jeśli macie jakieś pytania do gościa lub do mnie, piszcie śmiało w komentarzach na Facebooku, Instagramie lub YouTubie. Oczywiście zachęcam również do szerowania materiału. Os i do usłyszenia.